to Psalms 111. And kind of actually do what I was sort of intending to do when I first looked at Psalm 111. And I got sidetracked from it last week. But Psalm 111, and I want to begin reading in verse 4. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Just as an aside, before I forget, Mason reminded me last week of what Earl had said about that. Holy and reverend is his name. So reverend is not my name. Earl said you can call him pastor, you can call him preacher, what? Don't call him reverend. Holy and reverend is his name. But what I want to speak to this morning, and if I can, is that the Lord is gracious. He is gracious to his people, and because of this, his work is gracious to his people. Last week I did speak of his works. His works are great, his works are honorable, his works are forever and ever. His works are perfect, and his works are wonderful, and they are to be remembered. They are to be remembered. I was thinking as I drove home last week, last night's when I saw the sign about Jesus had his palms read. But last week on my way home, I was thinking how I stood up here and I said that I can't unbelieve God now. Well, the reason I can't is because his works are forever. If it's his work in you, it's forever. And you can't undo it. It can't be undone. That's good news. That's good news. As I said before, I can break just about anything. But I can't break his hold on me. And I could lie about it. I could deny it. I'm capable of that. But I'd be lying. Because I do know him. I do believe him. And even if I'm undone, he's still true. Anyhow. Well, that's because the Lord is gracious. That's what it's all for. The Lord is gracious, it says here, and full of compassion. This is what the psalmist says about our Lord. He is gracious, full of grace, and he expects. Here it's used as an adjective, and another place we're going to go to, it's used as a verb. But this is what he expresses to the people he chooses to. Psalms 116 verse 5 says, gracious is the Lord and righteousness, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Then Psalms 145 verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy." When you see is gracious, you'll see compassion. When you see the Lord is gracious, you'll see his mercy. God is gracious, God is righteous, God is merciful, God is full of compassion. God is of great mercy. But where I want to turn to here is Exodus chapter 33 for just a minute, and then we'll go to 34. Because I want to hear where God says it. That's where the psalmist got it from, that the Lord is gracious, is because God said it himself. Exodus 33 and verse 19. Well, okay, verse 17. No, I'm not going to back up anymore now. Verse 17. "And the Lord said unto Moses," that's who's talking, the Lord, and he's talking to Moses, "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken." Why? "For thou hast found grace in my sight. And I know thee by name." And he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And he said, this is the Lord said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious, to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. I am gracious." The Lord says, "I am gracious." But he is gracious to someone. That's how it's expressed. That's how we know about it. God is gracious to whom he will be gracious. That's pretty plain. Who makes the decision about this? The Lord. The Lord will be gracious to whom the Lord will be gracious. There's no prerequisites listed here. I'm tired of a lot of things. Well, you've heard about performance-enhancing drugs in sports. Well, I'm tired of performance-based religion. God says, "I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious." It's not up to you. It's not up to me. Moses, he said, "Thou hast found grace in my sight." His is the only sight that matters. His is the only grace that matters. "And I know thee by name, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious." It's all of God. It's his gracious. It's his grace. It's his mercy. It's his compassion. And he will give it to whomsoever he will. And if you want a whosoever will, good, deal with that. God is whosoever will, because he's the only one who can. Grace is not reckoned of debt. Grace is not what anyone earns. It's not of works. Grace is free. Grace is sovereign, and it's sovereignly given. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And why is this? The only reason we have is because it pleased God. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. what's he doing now? Whatsoever he pleased. What's he going to do tomorrow? Whatsoever he pleased. From the beginning, he's declared the end. From the beginning, he's declared the end. There's not going to be any surprises. God will do all his pleasure. And he is pleased to be gracious to whom he will be gracious. He is pleased to show mercy to whom he will show mercy. That's what he was doing yesterday, that's what he's doing today, and that's what he's going to do tomorrow. The Lord is gracious because he is pleased to be gracious. Then in Exodus, just the next chapter, 34, verse 6, says, And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. The Lord passed before Moses, passed by before Moses. That's what this is talking about. This is when he went up, it says it, to replace the two tablets of stone that had already been broke. The first two he came down with, there were the people worshiping the golden calf, and he broke them. And then the Lord had that handled. Who's on the Lord's side? He had it handled. And you know who he made do it? He made them do it. That's the one problem I have with that movie, The Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston. No, you go out there and you slay your brother. That's what it says. If you're not on the Lord's side, you're dead. And he's the only one who's got a side. I do like what Henry Mahan said. You ain't got a side. It's him. He's the only one with a side. Yeah. And they killed their brothers. Then Moses went back with two more stones. And God said, I'm going to cause myself to pass by before you. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. He spoke to Moses. He told him he's merciful, his graciousness, his long-suffering, his goodness, and his truth. He forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. Doesn't matter what the difference is between the three. Right. He forgives them all. Right. When he's being gracious and merciful and long-suffering. Because it's his mercy, his graciousness, his long-suffering, his goodness, and it's his truth. God wasn't checking Moses for input. God was not asking anyone's opinion. This was a proclamation. The Lord proclaimed it, and that settled it. This is who I am. This is what I do. The one place people won't look for the truth about God is in this book. They'll look anywhere. They'll listen to radio shows, call-in shows with questions. They'll watch television shows with idiot preachers on them, healing people or not healing people, or standing in pulpits and wearing purple robes. But they won't look in this book, where God spoke to Moses, and where God speaks all throughout this book, to find out who he is. There's a reason for that. And the reason is they really don't want to know. They don't want to know. They want to know anything else. They want to know everything else. But they don't want to know the truth about God. Because here, right after he says that he will forgive iniquity and transgression and sins and will by no means clear the guilty. Well, wait a minute. How do you do that? He's going to forgive iniquity, he's going to forgive transgression, and he's going to forgive sin, but he's not going to clear the guilty. Somehow the guilty have to be punished. That's part of his graciousness. Because the guilty, some of the guilty, were cleared, were punished, the debt paid by Jesus Christ. And his people are not guilty anymore. His people are actually righteous. They have been redeemed. There's a place in town that actually has that up there where it says, and he gave himself a ransom for many. And I wonder if they mean that. Because the Lord does forgive iniquity and transgression and sin in Christ. In Christ. And whosoever is in Christ is not guilty. Whosoever is in Christ is righteous. Whosoever is in Christ is redeemed. Whosoever is in Christ is completely justified by his blood. Moses wasn't given any input to God about this. This was God's statement to Moses. There wasn't a dialogue at this time, Mason. God wasn't entering into a dialogue. He was making a proclamation. And Moses heard this, and guess what happened? And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Where is that today? Where is it? Oh, I see a bunch of people bowing toward Mecca on TV every now and then. Kneeling on prayer rugs, looking toward the east or something. Moses bowed before God in his proclamation. That God will be gracious to whom he will be gracious. Yeah. God forgives transgression, and he will by no means clear the guilty. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But the Lord is gracious. He is going to forgive. He has, actually. He forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. People who claim to know God today, people who claim to love God today, who claim the name of Christ, don't seem to have much reverence for him. They don't bow down at his word. That's what Moses did. And matter of fact, he made haste to bow down. Isaiah saw the Lord. High and lifted up. That's it. Woe is me. That's not what people say today. You know, Paul, I don't have this microphone on. Oops. Well, this one's on, I think. But anyway, hi. You know, I'll pantomime the rest of it, you know. People see Jesus and he pulls their teeth on their bedside. People see Jesus in knot holes. Nobody's hitting their knees. Nobody's bowing to his word. Oh, he's the old man upstairs. I hope he likes me. That's the kind of irreverence we have today.
Yeah.
When the Bible says holy and reverend is his name, right, we are to respect it. And not use it as an exclamation or an expleted, deleted, whatever they call it. They seem to have less reverence for his word than they do for him sometimes. Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips. And I'm in the midst of a people of unclean lips. That's what happens when you see the Lord. You get humbled. He don't get humbled. You get humbled. He does come down to us. Otherwise, we'd never see him. It's about time for me to quit. Moses bowed down to the gracious Lord God Almighty, and he made haste to do it because God had revealed himself to him. God proclaimed his mercy, his grace, his long-suffering, his goodness, his truth, and his not clearing of the guilty. People want to leave that part out too. They'll love to talk about mercy and grace and long-suffering and goodness and truth, even though they don't know the truth, but they love to talk about it. But they don't want to talk about the fact that he ain't going to clear the guilty. Moses made haste and bowed down to the Lord as he is. Saul of Tarsus was spoken to by Jesus Christ, and he was knocked off his donkey and blinded. Stephen saw the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, standing at the right hand of God. Just before that, he told them about them being stiff-necked and uncircumcised. They bit him. He told them this. They cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And Stephen called upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he knelt and said with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. While they were stoning him, he bowed before God. He bowed to Christ while being stoned. I don't understand that. I'm sorry, you start throwing rocks at me, I'm going to get mad. And if I can, I'm going to catch one and throw it back. But it's just that way. The grace of Jesus Christ is sufficient for all things. Holy and reverend is his name. And Moses prayed, if now, let's see, verse 9, and he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my God, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people. And pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. take us. If we have found grace in his sight, he'll take us. Actually, he's already took us. But it's his grace and in his sight, and it's his inheritance. Again, we're not looking for input. God's providing output. God doesn't have a counselor because God doesn't need a counselor. Yeah. The gracious Lord delivers. Job 33 and 24 put it this way, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going into the pit. I have found a ransom. The gracious Lord delivers. And how's it shown? The ransom has been paid. The ransom has been paid. 1 Peter put it this way, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and all and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the world that desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And the Lord is gracious.
Amen.
Have you tasted it?
Yeah. Right.
Have you tasted it? It's personal. I can't taste it for you. And you can't taste it for me. I can't taste it for my wife.
No.
And she can't taste it for me. Even with that relationship we have, the relationship with God is me and God. Or actually God and I. Bad English again. It's you and God. God and you. I can tell you what I know. I can tell you what the book says. But that's all I can do. In order for you to taste it, he's going to have to put it in your mouth. It comes from him. It is from him. But he is gracious whether we taste him or not.
Right.
He is gracious.
Yeah.
And if you have tasted, you can lay aside all malice. It's not saying you won't pick it up again a little bit. All guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, and as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, you will desire the milk. And after you've had enough milk, you'll desire the meat. And it's all in the same place in this book. There's milk and there's meat. If you haven't tasted, you won't lay aside anything. And you won't desire the milk of the word. You mean God will change your desires? Well, yeah. Somebody's got to, or it won't get done. They're not taken completely away. I still have the flesh. But in my mind, I can serve the law of God. If I've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Peter went on, verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. God said it, it's settled. It's right there. That's scripture. He'll settle you. And that's your only hope of being settled, is that he settles you. Here's another question. If he's the God of all grace, how much grace is there outside of him? None. Not a bit. God has all grace. He is the God of all grace. And if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, you'll know. You'll know. And you'll like it. You might fight against it. You might kick against the pricks for a while. Paul did that before he got blinded. There is a law work. There is a spirit of fear. But afterwards, there's the spirit of adoption. If you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. And he is gracious. The book says so. He says so. And that does settle it. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this day and this time that you are gracious. And because of your grace, you have done things for us. You have done things to us, and you will continue to do things to us and for us. Thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.